and welcome to Season 4 of the Personal Finance Podcast by Money Control, brought to you by Kubera.in, India's first completely free online mutual fund investment platform. You're listening to Lisa Pallavi Barbora, and joining me for this episode is Neelab Sanyal at Kubera.in. Hi Neelab, welcome.
Hi Lisa.
So while it's true that digital platforms have given a great access to mutual funds, the fundamental question remains, why should one invest in mutual funds? Today's discussion will focus on helping investors understand the utility of mutual funds across their investment goal and the cycle. So Neelab, let's begin by establishing, you know, whether mutual funds can actually achieve these requirements. Everyone's purpose for investment is different. Some look for safety, some want regular income, and young earners hopefully want to create some wealth. Of course, there will be many who look for a combination of all these. Are mutual funds equipped to cater to all these requirements?
Yes, of course. And let's go in the sequence in which you mentioned. So from a safety perspective, mutual funds are regulated by SEBI. And just like banks, just like post office deposits or the traditional investing options that investors are more familiar with.
Right.
Of course, the regulators are different, but in the case of mutual funds, so no one can run away with your money. And there is a very high bar for mutual fund companies to be in the business that they are in today. So your money is safe.
Right.
So that's safety. From the perspective of your needs, each individual has a different investing horizon. They will have different investing goals. Someone may be saving for retirement, someone may be saving for a family member's wedding in the next year, etc. So there is a whole variety of mutual fund products available, and they're scheme categories, so to speak, which can cater to a whole spectrum of requirements. So whether you're looking for very short term, parking your surplus funds because you have a purchase coming up in the next few months, a liquid fund is a great option to consider. Ultra short term funds similarly. If you're saving for the long term and you want to sort of put aside money for a long term goal, then you can consider equity funds. And there are various levels of risk that you can incorporate in the choices that you make while investing. So there is a whole variety of options which will cater to different kind of investing needs. Even as an individual, you may have certain needs which are immediate and certain needs which are sort of over the long term from an investing standpoint. And for you as well, a portfolio, a well-constructed portfolio, can take care of both your short-term investing goals as well as for your long-term investing goals.
Right. So there are options available for investors if they want to go for any kind of a financial objective or...
Absolutely. In fact, that is, the way that you mention it, that is the right way to think about investing. Think of it in terms of financial goals.
Right.
And because that's what, translates into a financial plan.
Right.
Because when you're investing towards a goal, you set aside, you know what is the amount that you need, you know in how much time you need it.
Yeah.
And therefore, you can work backwards and do a match with the type of scheme that you're investing in.
Yeah. I guess what you're saying is that it's not just about saving your money, but using it actually to invest it towards something specific. And,
something,
you can define it as whatever you need at that time.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely.
So given how the Indian investor has behaved historically, it's not wrong to say that, safety and regular income, these are primary asks from an investment product. Small saving products like the saving schemes, bank deposits, PPF, they have all catered to this need of either safety or regular income or stable returns. What can a mutual fund do differently from the above to cater to the same need of regular income and stable return?
Right. See, there are two elements to this. One is fundamentally, what is the risk that you're taking when you're investing in a mutual fund?
Okay.
Because of the regulator. And there are a whole set of guidelines, and hats off to SEBI for staying two steps ahead of the market in terms of putting in place a very strong regulatory framework. And they're they are reactive at times, but they're very proactive as well in terms of laying down very strict guidelines on where mutual fund schemes can invest in, the kind of exposure that they can take.
Sure.
So from that perspective, that is the first element. So from a regulation perspective, mutual funds cannot, it's not that they have blind discretion. They can invest in something which is very risky. They cannot.
But I think what you're saying is that a mutual fund will not run away with your money or cannot, because it is regulated by the capital markets regulator, and you know that if you've put your money, then it's in your name, it's there.
It's in your name. You can, you know, check the balance every day, check the value of your investment on a daily basis. Yeah. I mean, in some ways, it is far more transparent than probably, you know, buying gold ornaments.
Right. Yeah, you don't know how much percentage gold and what purity, etc.
Exactly. So that's one aspect of safety. The other aspect of safety is mutual funds are fundamentally dependent on, they are market instruments.
Right.
You know, mutual funds themselves hold a portfolio of either equity or debt or a mix of instruments.
Right.
And those investments themselves carry a certain set of risks. Now, this part cannot be regulated. This is market dependent. So as markets move up and down, your returns will fluctuate to that extent.
Right.
But think of it this way, that, you know, over a period of time, if you're not using mutual funds to speculate, right, that, you know, you're not looking for a 6 month 20% return or a, any kind of unreasonable expectation. So if your expectations are reasonable, then over a 3, 5, 7 year horizon, you are able to take that risk.
Okay.
And when you have time, when you're investing, time is like, it acts in your favor.
Right.
So the longer your horizon, the more risk that you can take.
So what kind of funds should one look for if one wants, say, regular income?
There are two options that you can go with. One is a, you know, dividend plan, which is what traditionally was advised to investors. Of course, dividend plans means that the mutual fund is going to pay out
something.
You know, some amount,
maybe
monthly, 6 monthly, or depending on what the scheme type is. It is, you know, while that works, but the payouts are not fixed.
Okay.
It is not necessary that there will be a dividend payout every interval. A better option perhaps would be to consider a systematic withdrawal plan.
Okay.
This is also a innovation from the mutual fund players itself,
where
you can look at a fixed amount, withdrawing a fixed amount every month, which we would recommend to investors who are dependent on their investment portfolio for their, you know, meeting their day-to-day requirements as well.
Right.
So if they don't have a salary, for example, or if they don't have rental income, then they can look at a systematic withdrawal plan where they take out a fixed sum of money, which automatically gets withdrawn, the units are sold, and the money is deposited into their bank account.
And this can be done with debt and equity,
all
any
kind of
asset.
Instruments. All kinds of, all types, all categories of mutual funds schemes
can be
used. You can do this.
Let's come then to the wealth creation aspect. Again, traditionally it was real estate or a business venture, or perhaps owning equity shares that catered to this need. But the market has changed now, and owning direct shares without adequate knowledge, for example, is fraught with risks, and real estate isn't doing much either. So can one switch to an equity fund, for example, for this whole wealth creation aspect of financial goals?
Yes. So if you break it down, you know, you spoke of two, three categories, actually.
Right.
You spoke about real estate, and you asked about equities, and then about setting up your own business.
Yes,
so
yes.
Setting up your own business, of course, is a different, you know, it's probably outside the scope of this discussion. But from a real estate standpoint, think of it this way. Even if the market, even if the real estate market was booming, can you invest 10,000 rupees in real estate?
Right. You can't do small tickets.
You can't do small tickets, right?
Right.
Suppose you already, you have invested in an apartment, and the value of that apartment is 2 crores.
Right.
Today you need 20,000 rupees, or today you need 10 lakh rupees to buy a car. Can you
sell
your kitchen and get 20 lakh rupees?
That's
so you cannot. So the simple concept is that the ticket size of real estate is much larger.
Yeah.
Right. And irrespective of how the markets are doing.
Yeah.
And there are a whole bunch of frictions as well. You have to consider registration, stamp duty, etc., etc., which are actually frictions.
Yeah, and often they add to the cost, but people don't consider that. You know, you just consider what you're paying for the house or whatever it is that you're buying.
Yeah. Absolutely. And mutual fund investing, you can start today.
Yeah.
Whereas, you know, even though purchasing real estate is an aspiration that a lot of the, you know, younger folks have.
Yeah.
You can really start thinking about it only after, you know, let's say 5 to 10 years of your career.
When you've accumulated
some wealth, when you have, you know, the income to sort of pay the EMI, because you're going to take a loan.
Yeah, it is a leverage kind of investment too, so yeah.
Correct. So that is real estate. And, you know, the third one, which is equities, if you're not a markets professional.
Right.
And if you're not you know, probably somebody who has, who's focused on doing research. You don't belong to this industry.
Yeah, you don't have the time also.
You don't have the time, yeah. Right? So you'd rather be out focused on your job and, you know, making the best creative if that's what you do, or making the best movies if that's what you do.
Right.
Being in Bombay, we can talk about that. But I'd rather that we focus on our jobs and be the best there and let mutual funds do that work for you.
Yes, because they are managed portfolios where the job of the fund manager is
absolutely to do only that. That is their only job, and that is what they get paid for. That is what they, you know, have been doing. They are experienced, and of course, if we have you know, if we have the time, if we are fully dedicated to, you know, sort of investing our own pool of money, then we can consider equities, but it's not without risks.
Right.
And you don't want to find out too late in the game that, hey, I shouldn't have been playing this one.
Yes.
So when it, now contrast it with mutual funds.
Yeah.
So compared to real estate, you can, today there are a lot of mutual funds which give you an option to start with 100 rupees or a 500 rupees SIP.
Yeah.
Right. And you can scale that up to as much as you are comfortable with. So you are accumulating wealth. You can take out, money is available to you in the bank between 1 to 5 days, depending on the type of scheme that you have invested in.
Right.
So that, you know, compares very favorably with real estate.
Yeah.
And now coming to the point about how real estate, the market itself has been doing. Of course, it is not doing that great right now. But if you compare long-term returns that one has made in real estate versus mutual funds versus gold versus some of the other categories, mutual funds have outperformed.
Equity mutual funds
have outperformed other categories.
Yes.
And I mean, not exactly equity mutual funds, but a basket of a balanced mix of debt and equity.
Equity, okay.
Itself, because the market has done, you know, 11-12% returns.
Yes.
And this, I'm talking about a 20-year horizon.
Yeah. So there are the other benefits you spoke about, like the ticket size, and there is this whole flexibility of investing whenever you want to invest.
The size.
Also, you know, the fact that I can sit here today and I can invest in a mutual fund. But if I want to buy a property or something, it'll take me some time, you know, to figure it out.
Yes.
So I have that flexibility of starting anytime. Liquidity, like you were saying, that if you want, you know, a little bit of money out, you can take that little bit out whenever you want. So aside from all that, I think what you're also saying is that returns, if you compare returns also over a, you know, long period, even there, the this product has done well in a combination of debt, equity.
I mean, I don't have the most recent numbers, but, you know, probably a year ago or a year and a half ago, we had seen, we had come across a study that gold and real estate had similar kind of returns, long-term averages of about 8%.
Okay.
And the markets, I mean, that is publicly available data. Yeah. So markets have delivered 11-12% returns. I'm talking about the Sensex.
Yeah.
So depending on the type of mutual fund that you've invested in, you'll be either this side or that side. But still, it's a 50% higher return on your investment.
Nilab, we also must talk about another financial security which is often pitted against the equity mutual fund, which is the insurance-linked funds or ULIPs. Their biggest advantage in today's times is that the gains are tax-free. At 10% long-term capital gains tax that equity funds are subject to, the ULIPs come with a big benefit. How do you look at this sort of comparison?
See, the regulatory aspect aside, is it an easy product to understand? ULIPs have a security element to them, a protection element, which is the life insurance part. They have a investment basket in which you're investing in. So it's like a
two-in-one product.
It's a two-in-one product.
Yeah.
Exactly how it is sold as well.
Mm.
But is it the best at both? Mm. Is the investment basket comparable to mutual funds? Do insurance companies have the same freedom as mutual funds to invest in you know, different types of instruments? Can you dial up or dial down the risk depending on by making that choice? That's one. So from a flexibility from the product itself standpoint,
right,
not even talking about returns now, I'm just saying, you know, just think about the restrictions that apply in insurance. The second part, ULIPs, sorry. The other aspect is you are locked in. You can't switch from one product to the other. You know, let's say you want to, you have larger plans, you want to do some, you want to save for the long term, and then you have a short term goal. You can't, it's not like you can top up you know,
well,
the
you have some option to switch in within the insurer, but I don't think you can switch out of the insurer. They have
you're
different plans
in.
Or something.
You're
like
tied in. There are options to switch. There are options to move. There are, but they're so expensive. The,
yeah.
the friction of yeah. moving is yeah. so high that you'd rather not move.
Right.
There's no portability per se, in the or the portability cost of a ULIP plan is much higher.
Yeah.
That's the second part, and you're stuck.
First 5 years, there's a lock-in, so you can't get your money out.
Correct. And I mean, ULIP is one part, but if you think about it, if you do, let's say, you know, you have whatever 5,000 rupees a month with which you want to invest as well as buy insurance, instead of buying a 2-in-1 product,
yeah,
consider a term plan from any of the insurers,
yeah.
and you can get the younger. You are, the premium will be that much lower.
That's right.
And you can probably buy a very large, maybe up to a crore of insurance cover in a term plan by paying 500 rupees a month.
Mm-hmm.
And the remaining 4,500 goes into a mutual fund basket.
Right.
Which can be both for your long term as well as, you know, equities, equity mutual funds for the long term. And, you know, for the short term, you can consider liquid funds.
Yeah.
It's easy to understand. Each of these products are distinct if you think of protection and investments separately.
Yeah.
So I think these are the three parameters where clearly, you know, mutual funds from a flexibility standpoint, from a liquidity standpoint, are probably more suited for...
So one shouldn't just go by the tax benefit.
Tax is one aspect. And long-term capital gains tax of 10%. It was not there for some time, but that 10% tax is only applicable after you have more than 1 lakh of gain.
Right.
And there are some players like ourselves who have very smart products like tax harvesting, which allow you to harvest that 1 lakh capital gain every year.
Okay.
And not end up, you know, effectively you save 10,000 rupees of tax every year.
So there you have it. Nilab has spoken about the various benefits that mutual funds bring to table and their ability to cater to all kinds of different investment needs. But it's also your responsibility to understand the short and long-term risks associated with mutual funds and adjust your behavior accordingly. Thank you very much, Nilab, for joining us today. Thank you, listeners, for staying tuned into this episode. Remember, mutual fund investments are subject to market risks. Read all scheme documents carefully before investing. Do your homework, and if you have any queries, you can write into mcpodcast@nw18.com. That's mcpodcast@nw18.com. For more news, views, and updates, stay logged on to moneycontrol.com. Thank you.